I really want it for people, regardless of their sexual orientation, to be able to look at the DVD as a commentary on our society.
It's a quiet thing.
Your face on the pillow is the sweetest smiling thing I've ever seen.
Mama and Mommy love each other. Aren't I lucky to have two mothers?
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Swiss civil partnerships jumped their first legislative hurdle. Homo war stories informed documentarian Dong's new DVD trilogy. And contemporary countertenoring, Celtic living, and songs for kids percolate from the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the 2 weeks ending December 6th, 2003. 60% of Switzerland's House of Representatives this week voted in favor of a bill to create registered partnerships for same-gender couples. Partners would be recognized as next of kin with legal status equal to married spouses in areas including insurance, pensions, taxation, and inheritance. The partnerships would not extend rights to adopt as a couple, to obtain fertility treatment, or for partners to share a surname. The bill now moves to the Swiss Senate. It's facing heated opposition from the religious right Federal Democratic Union, which has vowed to put the issue before voters if it's enacted.
Britain's parliament will also be considering legal recognition of same-gender couples for the first time, as the government's proposal was formally announced last week in the ceremonial Queen's speech. The current version would create civil partnerships, conferring status equivalent to marriage in areas including hospitalization, immunity from testifying against a partner in court, tenancy, pensions in both the public and private sectors, state benefits including compensation when a partner is the victim of a fatal accident or criminal injury, income-related benefits, immigration, and parental rights. Partners would be legally obliged to financially support each other and each other's children. Partners would inherit from each other, as married spouses do, but extension of the marital inheritance tax exemption to civil partnerships is still under consideration. If enacted, the measure would take effect in 2010 in England and Wales, although the Scottish Executive has indicated it will also adopt it. Britain's opposition Conservative Party has already announced that its members of parliament will be allowed to vote their consciences on the bill, and even more remarkably, has made its only openly gay MP, Alan Duncan, its spokesperson on the issue. But while the ruling Labour Party's huge majority all but guarantees the bill's passage in the parliament, opposition is still expected in the House of Lords.
Some Christian groups are lobbying hard against the bill, but it has strong public support. The government reported that the more than 3,000 responses it gathered during public consultation on the bill ran more than 80% in favor. Even Lord George Carey, who was no friend to gays and lesbians during his tenure as Archbishop of Canterbury and head of the Anglican Church, said that there may well be a case for looking sympathetically at civil partnerships, as long as they were not called marriage and were not celebrated in churches. Scotland's Anglican leader, Professor Ian Torrance, was more enthusiastic, denying that partnerships constitute an attack on the sanctity of marriage, calling them a matter of justice, and declaring, "Here we see a mechanism which will enable people who lead very mobile lives to have greater faithfulness and greater structures in their lives. Who are we to condemn it?" Britain's government has also published a new Domestic Violence Crime and Victims Bill, which provides for equal treatment of gay and lesbian couples.
The Queen's speech also heralded the Gender Recognition Bill, which for the first time would allow British transgenders to be legally recognized in their self-identified gender. Introduced this week in the House of Lords, it would allow them to revise their birth certificates and to legally marry a partner of the opposite gender. Clergy could decline to perform their marriages, however. While sex reassignment surgery is not required, individuals will have to present a diagnosis of gender dysphoria and evidence that they have lived at least 2 years and intend to continue to live in their self-identified gender. If enacted, the measure will apply in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, and the Scottish Executive has said it will also adopt it.
Britain's new law prohibiting workplace discrimination and harassment based on actual or perceived sexual orientation went into effect this week. The largest private sector labor union there, Amicus, celebrated the new protections with a release of 200 balloons whose varied colors represented diversity. The same day, six unions coordinated by the Trade Unions Council were arguing in the High Court against the new law's exemption for religious groups. Although the government is the target of the union's lawsuit, the court has granted the religious right umbrella group Evangelical Alliance intervener status to argue for what it calls religious autonomy.
Britain has been pushed into all these advances by the standards of the European Union, yet four-fifths of the 15 EU member states have failed the deadline on lesbo-gay job rights, according to the International Lesbian and Gay Association. ILGA Europe noted that the EU Employment Framework Directive adopted 3 years ago prescribed implementation by December 2nd. Yet the group said that on that date, only Belgium, Denmark, and Sweden had met the directive's minimum standard for explicit workplace discrimination protections, although Ireland, the Netherlands, and the UK had taken notable steps. Some EU member states have yet to even introduce such legislation, while others have not yet enacted it or have adopted weaker laws. ILGA called on the EU nations to stand by their initial commitment to the directive and not to water down its provisions.
Latvia hopes to join the European Union, and in mid-November, its parliament approved a new law against workplace and school discrimination and harassment, which includes sexual orientation among its protected categories. The law on equal opportunities becomes effective in 2005 and will be enforced by the Inspector of Equality between men and women.
The Parliament of Australia's Northern Territory last week voted 15-9 to approve an omnibus bill towards equality for gays and lesbians. The most contentious item in the 12-hour debate was lowering the age of consent for sex between males from 18 to 16, the age of consent for females. In the course of that discussion, one member of the Legislative Assembly described his personal experience of being sexually assaulted by an adult male employer several times over a period of months when he was 13, including circulating a copy of the graphic report he made to police at the time. That MLA, the opposition Country Labour Party's McDonald John Elferink, proposed that the age of consent be equalized at 18. The Australian Labour Party government countered that the bill included severe penalties for sexual offences against 16- and 17-year-olds.
The move had strong support from the Dean of Darwin's Anglican Cathedral, Mike Nixon, who denounced opponents' homophobic Bible bashing and told reporters that, "I feel gay people are discriminated against by society and the church to a point of leading quite a few young people to a high rate of suicide. We need to take on board and accept these homosexual people are just as much loved by God as is anybody else." The Northern Territory was the last Australian region with a higher age of consent for homosexual acts, although Queensland maintains a higher age of consent for anal intercourse regardless of the party's genders. The NT government's Gay and Lesbian Law Reform Bill has other very significant elements. It removes some gay-specific exemptions from the Territorial Anti-Discrimination Act. It also extends some legal recognition to same-gender couples.
But in Australia's national legislature, the coalition government and the opposition Australian Labor Party this week joined to defeat a move by the smaller Australian Democratic Party to extend a military benefit to gay and lesbian service members' same-gender domestic partners. The ADP sought equal treatment for those couples in a bill involving housing loans for members of the Australian Defence Force. The government's refusal to extend benefits to the partners of gay and lesbian service members has already been denounced by a quasi-judicial United Nations body and by Australia's Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission. Last week, the ADP reintroduced their Sexuality and Gender Identity Discrimination Bill, a comprehensive civil rights package which would hold Australia's federal government to the same standard that most of its states and territories have adopted.
A Brazilian court last week for the first time recognized a same-gender relationship as a common law marriage, qualifying a foreign partner for a permanent visa. Brazilian Tony Reese and British-born David Ian Harrod first met in Britain in 1990. For their first 6 years, Reese repeatedly left and returned to England on short-term visas, while Harrod has repeatedly left and returned to Brazil on tourist visas since 1995. Facing deportation, Harrod petitioned the court for relief. The federal judge in Curitiba ruled that, although they are of the same sex, the authors of the petition live in a state of matrimony, a fact which extends to Mr. Harrod the right of permanent residence. The decision cited Brazil's constitution, which explicitly prohibits discrimination based on what it calls sexual preference.
But finally, this week a Brazilian mayor made headlines with a decree prohibiting residence and even presence in his town to what he called members of the class known as homosexuals and any element linked to this class. They can bring no benefits whatever to the town, according to Elcio Berti, mayor of the 9,000 residents of Bocaiuva do Sul in the state of Paraná. Citing the city's struggle for social projects and need to attract industry, his statement not only argued for higher birth rates and preservation of a family atmosphere, but emphasized a need for people with strong fists to operate production tools. Paraná's gay organization, Grupo Dignidade, which includes Tony Reese, quickly arranged a protest sit-in at City Hall and appealed to the courts. State prosecutors were just as quick to charge Berti with illegal discrimination and abuse of power. Conviction could mean loss of his elected office and up to 4 years' imprisonment. Berti has a history of issuing edicts that are struck down by the courts, including a local ban on birth control. But even more remarkable is who he apparently does want to come to Bocaiuva do Sul: extraterrestrials. He claims to be in regular contact with them and is working to build a landing pad for UFOs.
That's News Wrap for the 2 weeks ending December 6, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
Living our lives can be a quiet thing when we're playing for keeps in this month's Melodious Musings from the Audiophile, later in the program. Gay documentarian Arthur Dong has received over 100 Film Excellence Awards. Three of his most acclaimed feature-length films, Coming Out Under Fire, License to Kill, and Family Fundamentals, have just been released in a DVD collection packed with exciting new material. Brisbane, Australia-based This Way Out correspondent John Frame chats with Dong in Los Angeles about his medium and his message.
These three films present the personal stories of American gays and lesbians who served in World War II, of the convicted killers of gay men, and of families in which openly gay and lesbian children have parents who campaign against homosexuality. The carefully considered title of the collection is Stories from the War on Homosexuality.
It took a while to come up with this title. One of my first ideas was America's War on Homosexuality. And while some of my friends really caught on to that idea, a few of them, surprisingly, were upset. They said, well, no, America is not at war with homosexuals, or there is not a war, and war is too big of an idea, you know, it's not like we're in Iraq. So it was a very interesting process. Each of the video guys has an essay putting into context the film into broader ideas, you know, broader social and political ideas. And I really wanted for people, regardless of their sexual orientation, to be able to look at these viewer's guides and then go on and look at the film and the extra material within the DVD to appreciate it as a commentary on our society. And that's something that we all share, that we need to deal with these issues, and that they not only affect the gay community, but they affect all of us, because we're talking about human rights and civil rights. And anytime any one of these areas are violated, well, that's a violation on all of us. And that's how I really approached the whole set. The choice of the title, the choice of the graphics, the way the logo is designed. You know, I wanted the word war big, you know, and the word homo big. In fact, you know, I was saying, okay, if this was on the shelf at the local DVD shop in your neighborhood, and if you were a non-gay person, you know, what might you be attracted to possibly pick this up? And it's important that it's homosexuality and not homosexual. And this is something that I've learned. I know that for some parts of the gay community, they're very offended by the word homosexuality or homosexual because it's a clinical word. They'd rather use the word gay or LGBT or queer. But we're dealing with homosexuality, which is clinical, is a clinical diagnosis. And for the religious conservative people who are against homosexuality, they feel good about that. It's the old thing, hate the sin, but love the sinner. They're not against homosexuals. They're not against the people.
Arthur sees distinct advantages in the DVD format for his documentaries.
Oh, it's so exciting. It was like making a new film doing this collection with the three films that I've done, because I wasn't under those typical, traditionally accepted narrative constraints, where in a given amount of time, you tell a story from its beginnings up to the middle and through to its end. And there's, you know, a certain amount of dramatic tension you want to build and get released in by the end of the film. Well, with a DVD, you have the film, yes, but then it's a more interactive process of watching or experiencing an issue or a story. And it's pretty exciting because for me, as with all my documentaries, there's all this research that, you know, was conducted just to get to the point of putting a finished product on the screen. And so much of that research and many stories and people I've met from the research end up not being a part of the finished product. And with the DVD, I was able to dig through my hundreds of boxes of material and just look through things that I really liked and somewhat lamented leaving out. Because some of it is pretty historically important. A lot of it, I hope, is entertaining as well, and which is always what I try to blend, is something with some social value with entertainment. And for me, that's probably the most satisfying way of learning. And with the putting together the DVD, I was given this opportunity to get some of this stuff, well, kind of out of the closet and onto the DVD. In this context, in this collection, it all makes sense to me. And I hope to other people too.
Arthur prefers the word contempt rather than homophobia, and he has good reason for doing so.
That's a question that came up when we were working on the narration for Coming Out from the Fire. And Alan Barraby, who wrote the book on which the film is based, worked with me as a co-writer. And we were trying to figure out, okay, what's the word to use to best describe attitudes and beliefs about homosexuality and homosexuals in the 1940s. The words hate came up, homophobia came up, and they never seemed to really dig into all the nuances of prejudice and bigotry. And finally, we came up with the word contempt. And if you look up in the dictionary, contempt has quite a bit underlying what that word means. I mean, there's this feeling of disgust, there's a feeling of vileness. I hardly ever use the word homophobia. I use it as a convenient word because people kind of get it, you know, when you say that word. They kind of get it when you say hate. But I very consciously, and now it's very much of a natural part of me, avoid using those words, and instead I use the word contempt. It's psychological, spiritual, and emotional as well, and political.
Does Arthur see any quick resolution to the war on homosexuality?
You know, sometimes I paint a very pessimistic point of view, and I know better than to do that constantly, because I see the progress that is made. But I think some of us just need to be ever vigilant against those forces that are opposed us. And it seems as though if we let up and celebrate too much, then we forget that this war is happening and that it's all around us. And despite the successes we see and the steps that are being made, we can't forget that if we just relax a little bit, the opposition is going to step right in and do their job. This is the way I can see it happening. Certainly there are politicians and politics and what we call community leaders that fight on another front and are very effective. But for me as a media artist, I really see these products as part of, you know, the range of tools that we can have for social change.
This has been John Frame speaking with Arthur Dong in Los Angeles for This Way Out. Visit Arthur's website, deepfocusproductions.com, for full details.
Hi, this is Greg Louganis, and you're listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
And now, this month's operatic, jazzy, Celtic pop-flavored, socially conscious visit to the audiophile.
When it all comes true,
David Daniels is an openly gay American countertenor who has been making headlines appearing in opera companies around the world. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. Now David has gone a little more contemporary with his latest album called A Quiet Thing.
I had done big symphonic discs with arias, and I had done complete operas, and I wanted to do a disc of songs. And I thought, what a great instrument to try to match with my voice was the guitar. I knew that these accompaniments would work well on the guitar, and I wanted a very sort of mellow, intimate disc. And so I thought, what a perfect title to call something soft and intimate, A Quiet Thing.
Find out more about David Daniels and his new CD, A Quiet Thing, at www.danielssings.com. That's www.danielssings.com.
The incomparable Irish duo Zrazy is back with their fourth album called Living Our Lives.
And with it, Maria Walsh and Carol Nelson continue their own excellent blend of jazz, Celtic, and pop music.
Your face on the pillow is the sweetest smiling thing I've ever seen. The sunlight falls across you. I wonder for a moment if this is all a dream.
It's a new live album with a mixture of some of the older material on it in a live setting and with five new tracks on it as well, which there's greater emphasis of Celtic on it because our fans, particularly over here, really like that Celtic side of things. So we just thought we'd put some more of that on it.
Whenever I am away from you, my alibi telling people I don't care for you. Maybe I'm just hanging around with my head upside down. It's a feeling I can't seem to find somebody who's as wonderful, baby, as you. How can I be sure? I really, really, really want to know. I really, really want to know. Yeah.
You can learn more about Zrazy's latest album, Living Our Lives, at www.zrazy.com. That's www.zrazy.com.
Mama loves me, yes, it's true. And my mommy loves me too. Mama and mommy love each other. Aren't I lucky to have two mothers?
The song is about different kinds of families, families with two moms, families with two dads, single parent families, families of mixed races and cultural heritage. And I realized how important it is that our children, especially the children of GLBT families, have music for our kids to just celebrate themselves with.
Deidre McCalla released her first album in 1973 and had several albums on the Olivia label.
Her latest CD is called Playing for Keeps, and she continues to bring us socially conscious songs full of love and hope.
Walk me down to the river, let the water wash over my soul. This has been a long, long journey. I am finally going home. I am finally going home.
Find out more about Deidre McCalla and her latest album, Playing for Keeps, at www.deidremccalla.com. That's www.deidremccalla.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
No regrets. I got my family around me. I am truly blessed. Walk me down to the river. Let the water wash over my soul. This has been a long, long journey. I'm finally going home. Going home.
2003 was a year that featured war, political intrigue, and a huge victory for the lesbian and gay community. And as always, our LGBT musicians provided a soundtrack. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Join us as we take a look back at our favorite sounds of the year on the 2003 Audiophile Year in Review, coming the last week of December here on This Way Out,
the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Fensberry, Rex Walkner, John Frame, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. The music in John Frame's interview with Arthur Dong came from the three films in Dong's DVD collection, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WPSU University Park, Pennsylvania, KZSC Santa Cruz, California, 6RTR Perth, West Australia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we know you'll stay tuned.